Financial tools for the younger set. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with a successful entrepreneur who is laser-focused on providing the best investment platform, period. That conversation starts now.
Hello, and thanks for listening. When you speak with entrepreneurs often, especially younger ones who have had a bit of success, the phrase solve for X usually comes up in conversation. Well, we were solving for X, so we built a Snapchat-like server or something like that. Our next entrepreneur is solving for no less than a fundamental change in how people approach and manage financial planning.
Yeah, so today, 1 in 10 financial advisors have a sole fiduciary responsibility to act in your best interest, which is frightening. You know,
in
today's generation, there's a lot of distrust for financial institutions and banks, and I think that if a company doesn't always put the customer's best interest first, I just don't think that could be a company for today.
Financial planning services are not designed for today's generation, and as a result, they're struggling to reach millennials. Most of today's young professionals expect a service that aligns with how they live their lives. Easy access to information, personal connections, and curated experiences. And advice is not simple or affordable. This company and founder are changing that. Here we go.
Chris Hutchins, CEO and co-founder of Grove.
Let's start with just Grove right there. What are you solving for with this financial product?
I found, you know, as I got into my late 20s, early 30s, everyone around me was kind of really at a loss of what to do financially. They were thinking about getting married or starting a family or buying a home and kind of had no clue how to put all the pieces together. And financial advice today is usually reserved for people that have millions of dollars. And it seemed really difficult to be able to get personal advice for anything affordable. And so that was what the problem we were solving for was that, you know, it turns out 85% of America is stressed out financially every week.
Right.
No one knows whether they're on track for their goals, and we wanted to be able to provide a service that helps people figure those things out.
You know, in the pre-press that was provided to me, it says financial planning services simply are not designed for today's generation. Help me tease that out. Why not?
Yeah. So if you look at the way a financial advisor today typically gets to know you, they say, oh, do you think you could print out your bank statements and your brokerage statements and bring them to the office? And so already, if you just dissect that phrase, it's, well, one, you have to go to an office.
Right.
Two, you have to print things out. And three, the fact that it's printed means that tomorrow they're going to have no clue what's going on in your life. So, you know, it was important for us to do things virtually, to do things using the internet, using account syncing so that, you know, we can stay in touch with what's going on in our clients' lives and they don't have to fill out a bunch of paperwork.
Okay. So fluidity, low barrier to entry, complete transparency and back and forth. Basically, you're mobilizing a financial plan.
Yes. I think the other big thing that's interesting about the market today is, so 90% of financial advisors in the U.S. are brokers, and
yes,
in the broker capacity have no legal obligation to act in your best interest.
So, they used to.
Yeah. So today, 1 in 10 financial advisors have a sole fiduciary responsibility to act in your best interest, which is frightening. You know,
it
today's generation, there's a lot of distrust for financial institutions and banks. And I think that if a company doesn't always put the customer's best interest first, I just don't think that could be a company for today.
And yours does.
Yes. So we take on that fiduciary obligation, which is a real legal obligation to always act in our client's best interest. And it's one of the most important things about the company.
And I'm sure that's a very top level talking point when you're acquiring customers.
Absolutely. I think it's one of the first things we tell everyone.
Let's talk about customer acquisition. How is that going?
Yeah. So it's great. So right now, you know, we almost have too many customers to work with.
Great.
So we're trying to hire more advisors as fast as we can to make sure that we can support everyone in the best way possible. We're being very careful not to bring in too many people because we want to make sure the experience is incredible for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there might be a little bit of a wait if you signed up today, but that's so that we can make sure we deliver the best experience.
Can you tell us your runway from ideation to right now, today's, and we'll pick it up from there?
Yeah, started the company, I guess, back legally in 2015, but really didn't get it off the ground until 2016.
Okay.
I had spent about 4 years investing in early stage companies at Google Ventures, and this idea kind of came to me based on basically it's the culmination of my life. I'm one of those crazy financial life hackery, frugal, always optimizing kind of people. And so naturally, all my friends were like, hey, you seem to be the person that could help me with this financial situation because there is no service. And so I kind of naturally became that person. And as I tried to figure out how to scale myself, I realized I needed to build some software to do it.
Right on. Okay, so that brings us up to date right now. I bought my first house at about your age, I'm guessing, somewhere around there. I'm much older now, but I remember it being a very stressful time. First house contract you look at can be kind of daunting. It looks like the phone book your grandparents used to sit you on when you were a kid at the dining table. Like, it's reams of paper. Are you finding that this is a service or some kind of market opportunity for Grove when it comes to younger buyers of homes?
Yeah, I think the need for financial planning and something that's more comprehensive than just, you know, an answer to a question happens at these life moments where things are changing. And one of the biggest ones we see is when someone's looking to buy a home. It's probably the largest purchase you ever make. The first time, it's certainly the largest purchase you've ever made. Just knowing whether, you know, how much a home you can afford is not an easy question, because it's not just how much down payment do you have. It's what is that money for and what happens over the rest of your life? And is it enough house for what you care about in the future? And it's a really hard thing to figure out if you don't love building spreadsheets and models and
or
just doing it with complete uncertainty. And so I think that's probably one of the biggest entry points we have to help people get started.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because a recent study that I read showed optimally 31% of your monthly income would go to your living capacity, your mortgage or your rent. Right now, it's more like 52% is the average. That probably is not a great number for you to hear. And especially with younger buyers who may not be at the peak of their earning curve, that's got to be a mountain to climb for them.
I mean, it really depends. Lifestyles have changed quite a bit in terms of costs, you know. Half the people I know in San Francisco, their company provides them food and their company pays for all of their healthcare benefits and lots of things like that.
Chris Hutchins is the founder and CEO of Grove, a comprehensive financial planning service that is changing that type of business for the younger generation. Before founding Grove, Chris was a partner at Google Ventures, where he focused on seed and early stage investments. And prior to that, Chris co-founded Milk, a mobile startup acquired by Google in 2012. Links to his companies and his bio are at kgoradio.com. Just look for the show links for this week's show. And speaking of Google, the Mountain View company recently hosted its developers conference known as I.O. Google's I.O. conference always includes a raft of product rollouts, which is admittedly impressive because Google seems to be constantly iterating on its entire product suite. And artificial intelligence is at this year's heart of what Google is aiming to grow into, a lifelong customer base from elementary school to grave with its Google Assistant. Now, here's my chat with LaToya Drake. She's a Google spokesperson, and we're talking about AI.
And the goal for us is to demystify it, get to the point where this doesn't feel like science fiction, but really feels like part of your everyday life. One area where that showed up is in the assistant. The assistant is not new, and many of the things that we talked about are not new, but we've really thought about how do we elevate these products. With the assistant, we did some things like introduce 6 new voices so that people can change how they interact and who they interact with. Also introduced a mode called Please and Thank You. This is targeting families and children, and it's designed to help kids say more things like please and thank you. It's a prompt that you can put into your home device, and it will also say please and thank you to the kid as well.
I also noticed Google Pay is now supporting event tickets and boarding passes. The one thing that I think most people use, though, is Google Maps, right? Even Apple could not get that right, and Google Maps has been iterated again. So what is going on with that?
A few things that we've introduced, again, as I mentioned, we all know it, but we thought about what can we do to make it better. There's a feature called group sharing, and you might find yourself using this if you're going out to dinner with friends, you hop in Maps, you see what's around, then you have to go back and forth getting everybody on board, getting opinions. What you can do is invite everyone into that one map, and it's called group sharing, and everyone can weigh in, and you can quickly get a decision. There's also a feature, it's called For You. It will give you a match on whether or not a restaurant you're looking for is something that you will actually like. 98% chance that you'll like this place, meant to break you out of some of your habits and also introduce you to new things. But I'll tell you a wow moment with something we demoed. It's called AR for Street View or for mapping. Let's say you're the person who you're walking down the street. You feel like you're walking in the wrong direction, but you can't really get the arrow to point you in the right direction, so you find yourself walking back and forth. This will actually use a bit of AR, augmented reality, to actually bring it to life, to get you walking in the right direction so that you're not the person that everyone looks at and says that person's lost.
Thank you so much for your time this morning. Great stuff.
Thank you. Take care.
That was a Google spokesperson talking about Google's recent I.O. conference. There are links galore in the show notes for this week. Just check the article at kgoradio.com, or we'll put a link up at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. Coming up next, the harvesting of our private data, the lack of laws to prevent it, and just how big Big Brother is getting.
What does it mean when we have technology that can do extraordinary things? And then when I got home, you know, in 2012 back to the U.S., what really set me down this kind of privacy rabbit hole was I first learned about this technology of license plate readers, which I talk about in the book.
That's next. So stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.